So how do we... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, did everybody get the additions that I made last night?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I got them. All right, so how do we want to proceed at this point?
So we just want to go through the comments and the sections that still need addressing and then figure out where we're going from there?
That sounds reasonable.
Okay, I think I just turned Bluetooth on in my computer. I'm not sure what I just did.
Okay. Well, do we want to go through the bigger comments or... Like, Tara, I see you have a few little things up front about, like, word choices and transitions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, though, if our time would be better spent kind of going through the more substantive things.
I think, I think we should start with the bigger ones, and then we can go back and adjust small ones if we need to.
Right.
The first major thing is the end of section one. We have two different endings. We need to pick one. When we had originally this section, we ended with the, in this paper, well, Hurley, you modified it slightly, but it was similar to what you had in this paper. We will explore the interaction between the strength of a student's opinion about a topic, blah, 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 that paragraph. And Lee was concerned that we didn't have a smooth transition going into the literature review from that. So I had went back and I had added in the remainder of this paper includes that sentence, which Jackie doesn't think that we really need that. So we need to figure out how do we want to transition from our intro to our literature review.
I mean, I guess the reason why I think I put that comment there is I'm not used to seeing people literally address the literature review as part of the paper or study. It's kind of something that you have to do preceding it, but I wasn't really used to seeing people reference it.
Yeah, I agree. You can go ahead, Lee.
Oh, I was just, go ahead and talk. I'll look at a couple of papers.
Yeah, I think for the most part, your intro should end on the, you know, what is it we want to do with this paper, and then it's understood that the next thing that's going to come is going to be the literature review, the foundation. So I don't think we need a paper that addresses the literature, or I don't think we need a sentence that addresses the literature review specifically. I think we just need to decide what is the take-home punch. I think the literature or the intro should almost end with sort of like a hook to keep people reading. So they should know what they're getting into and they should be able to decide, you know, this is actually important. I'm going to finish reading the paper.
Okay. So, Lee, are you okay with that? Because you were concerned about a transition going into it.
Some people give a little bit of an outline in their introduction, but I think you're right. I'm a little off base there. So as I'm kind of skimming a couple of articles, yeah, there's not really a, we are about to present the literature review. so yeah, I think you're actually right there. I'm a little off base.
Okay, so we're going to get rid of the remainder of portion of that. So then we still have two paragraphs that we have to decide which one we want to end with.
Right.
I'm not comfortable having we. We have we a few times. I went through and I think I've taken most of them out. So, like, if in this paper we will explore, I'd rather say this paper explores the interaction. I'm just not comfortable having the we tense.
Okay. I may have put a lot of we's in what I wrote last night, but all right. Sorry. So maybe this paper explores the interaction.
Well, I don't care which one of those two we use. If we use the first one, I would redo it to say this paper explores. comments, thoughts? Jackie, what do you think?
I probably like the first one better, mainly because I don't like the long second sentence in the other one.
Okay.
I think I agree slightly. I think they're both reasonable, and I think we could wordsmith the second one a little bit. And we haven't introduced confirmation and belief bias yet, have we?
I don't believe so.
So I think we might be better going with the first one.
Just sticking with context and not getting into all that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would tend to agree.
I guess I was concerned because our abstract doesn't address specifically confirmation or belief bias, and we don't have it in our intro. So anybody who decides whether they're going to read our paper just by reading the abstract in the intro is going to have no idea that we're talking about confirmation and belief bias.
It's in our keywords.
It's in our keywords. That's true, Jackie.
It is in our keywords. They just have to read the paper.
Do they actually publish the keywords, though? Isn't that just what it comes up on if you search?
I thought they were published with the abstract. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Well, let's see. I'm looking at Surge right now. No, I'm just downloaded the paper from Surge, and the keywords are, it looks exactly like what I'm looking at. So
okay.
They published the keywords.
All right, then I guess they would see that in between the abstract and the introduction.
Were we at word limit for the abstract?
Yes.
Okay. As I say, we could just try and work it into the abstract then.
I'm pretty sure we were at our maximum word limit for the abstract. I can go back and check, but because we had worked on
that.
Are you okay, Jackie?
No, it's actually Lee.
Oh, Lee, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just dying over here. It's all right.
Get a drink.
I got my coffee. I think actually that's what's causing the problem.
One thing we could do is add a sentence. We could add a sentence at the end of the first intro saying we will, or something like this will be explored within the theoretical framework of confirmation and belief bias. I don't know if that really helps. So we might. Why don't we take out for now the second paragraph and then put a comment on the first paragraph or. Yeah, a comment on the first paragraph saying, do we need to mention confirmation and belief bias specifically?
Okay.
And I think we'll be okay without it, and if it's something we read through later and think, no, that's still really not right, then we'll come back to it.
And does anybody have any objections to my changing the one we're keeping to this paper explores?
We want paper explores or this paper will explore?
Explore. I think it should be present tense.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Does anybody have objections to my taking out the we may then ask to the end of the paragraph above? I don't think it really is necessary. Because I think we've already addressed some of those topics earlier in our introduction.
I'm fine with removing it.
I kind of like the second sentence there.
Yeah, that's
right. So maybe what we can do is we can delete the we may then ask sentence. And then leave the sentence second sentence and change the transition to something like, thus, the role of context in students' reasoning.
Okay. All right. So I think that addresses everything in section one. The next major thing was the lit review. Lee, you added in the Watson and Mort stuff, right?
Yeah, just a small paragraph where the little blue says taken care of. And that's why that was I have trouble with the insert comment nonsense. Not that it's nonsense, but I just have issues with it. So that's why that was highlighted, so I was trying to insert a comment, and it got highlighted.
Okay.
So long story short, I finished the Watson and Moritz thing. That little paragraph has been added in between where it ends, whether it's going to rain today. So in a study of how students' notion of the concept of sample develops as they progress through school, Watson and Moritz, blah, blah, blah. That's a little quote in there.
All right. Then I don't think we have anything else in section two. Section three. Lee added the paragraph under section 3.3, data coding. She added the theoretical, the qualitative stuff, the ground of theory stuff. Do we need to talk about that at all?
Unless anyone...
Should we take silence as no? Or is everybody reading?
I was reading.
Okay.
I think it's fine the way it is. I don't think we really need... Do we really need to justify our use of qualitative methods to this audience?
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, just to point out, there's the two sentences, we employed qualitative methods as those were the logical choice given the nature of our research question, quote, qualitative methods allow educators to discover and address students' concepts of statistics. I'm not sure that's really needed for this particular audience. I think most of the things in Surge are qualitative. So I think we could just delete those, but I do like the part you added about how we did meet to go through the coding and that sort of thing.
I just thought it was nice to have, like, a quote to kind of back us up. Because we didn't really justify anywhere else our choice of methodology.
I think for this audience, they would understand that that was the appropriate choice of methodology. Surge overwhelmingly is qualitative in its articles.
Okay.
Do we need to justify using the grounded theory approach? Is everybody, you think everybody would be comfortable with that, knowing why we used it?
I'm not sure about that. I think in general, you know, grounded theory is just one of several qualitative approaches. So I think we would need to address that specifically, not just say this is why we used a qualitative approach.
Oh, no, I know that. That's what I'm asking. Do those two sentences need to be modified to justify using grounded theory? That's what I'm wondering.
I put it back under there after I wrote it for Spanish. Did you check in your bag? Sorry. What was that, Tara?
I'm wondering if those two sentences need to be modified to justify why we used grounded theory, since they're right after Lee wrote that we've employed several grounded theory approaches and listed what they are.
Yeah, I think that would be a better use of that space. So I would,
okay,
for now, highlight them and say modified to address grounded theory specifically.
Okay.
And then we can figure the specifics of the wording out a little later.
Lee, do you think that's doable? You're the most familiar with grounded theory.
Yeah, I think I can put something in there. I mean, it just needs like a sentence or so.
Yeah, my understanding of grounded theory is you use it when you're using the data to help you develop the theory. And that's kind of what we were doing. We were taking more of an exploratory, we sort of had some theory going in, but then we were using the data to kind of develop that theory and see what students would say and kind of looking for patterns of reasoning there.
Well, yeah, basically, I mean, you know, sampling to refine the researchers' emerging theoretical ideas, that's kind of, and then kind of integrating it into, so we kind of had a framework going in, but we really did let the data kind of determine what our theoretical analysis or framework was going to be. I mean, that's the idea of it, is, you know, we're not using someone else's, so we tried that, it just didn't work, using somebody else's framework to analyze the data, you know, because we use what, Watson's levels?
Right.
Framework, and that just really did not work for us, so instead we kind of went back to the drawing board and sort of let the codes come out of the data. And that's essentially the idea of grounded theory.
Although we did still use Solo as our basis.
Well, yeah, it's not that it's, I mean, there's different ways to, it's not that, you know, you would just throw out the baby with the bathwater. And that's, I think, you know, integration of, you know, it's not that we just start completely from scratch. But, that you know, in the end, a lot of our coding came from our own interpretation of the data, and I mean, basically, we came up with our codes, is the short version.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I mean, if you remember, initially, we all kind of came up with a different coding scheme based on
right.
the data and then sort of settled on Solo as a framework to help guide us. So, I think in that sense,
so maybe we can talk a little bit about, maybe that would be a good place to kind of connect this. Because I talk about us discussing codes, but I actually never really talked about the, because that's really where the grounded theory comes in, is the development of the coding,
yeah.
the codes themselves. So I'll see what I can do with that. Maybe get a sentence in there about that. Take out.
All right, I add a comment there. Next thing is the expected results table. I put Herla's updated table in there. I don't have the original table anymore. I think I put the updated one in.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing.
Okay. I was going to say, I thought I deleted everything except what you had highlighted in the magenta color.
Yeah. What do you guys think of this?
I think Jackie had emailed and said that she was on board with these changes, right, Jackie?
Yes.
And my only concern was that we had already presented the other table at JSM and at the SRTL last summer, and I was just concerned that if somebody was familiar with that table, a reviewer might ask why we had changed it. But Herla seemed to indicate she thought we could address that at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think that would be reasonable. I mean, we will, whether the paper gets accepted, I think, the first time or not, we'll still, you know, or, you know, revise and submit that sort of thing. We'll have to address reviewer comments. We'll have to prepare a document addressing the reviewer comments. And so if it comes up, then that would be a forum. A good forum for that. The only concern would be is if we actually thought this would be strong enough where a reviewer would just reject us straight out because of it, and I don't think so. I also think, I'm pretty sure Bob Delmas is still the editor for sure, so I think he's the one we're going to be emailing.
Uh-huh.
We could just address it briefly in our statement to him, say, you know, if you recall from our presentation at Surge, say actually our understanding of the problem has developed a lot in conversations since SRTL and JSM. So you know, you'll see some of those, you may notice some of those changes, and we can even turn it into a positive and say, you know, we think the paper is actually much strengthened since then. And that way Bob will kind of have the heads up. So if another reviewer notices and comments negatively, Bob will kind of know why in the back of his head. So I don't think that would be my only concern, was if it was something where it would get us just rejected straight out, no revise and resubmit. And I don't see it being that big a deal. So I think we'll have an opportunity to address it somehow if it comes up.
Okay. I see I missed changing table numbers in the paragraph after it. I'll have to go back and do that.
Yeah.
I renumbered the tables and I forgot to update them in that last paragraph.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we need to talk about with the expected result section?
Not for me.
I think it's okay.
All right, on to results. A little thing, but I think we might as well get it cleared up now. Do we want on table 4 the sample demographics? Do we want the percent female and percent male column? Or do we just want to put one or the other?
I think just one or the other is fine.
Does anybody have preference?
I would say, well, female is our largest percentage, so I would say percent female.
Okay. If anyone notices any place else that we have to blind as we're going through, I think we have comments on most of it, but if anyone else notices, Herla added some, I added some comments about blinding, and I think Jackie added some. So if anybody else, if you guys notice another area, let's add. Nothing there. The next biggest change is the testing environment results. That was the next section. That section saw major revisions since last time.
I went and added some quotes from my papers.
I like the quotes. What I would do with those is I would kind of put them in order. So there's a couple that address luggage. There's a couple that address tuition. And so... and I would say, like, in the interview quotes, we gave a little description, you know, luggage scenario, random sample, this was the conclusion. I think we should do the same sort of thing here.
Okay. I wasn't sure which way you guys liked it, if you wanted the scenario with it or not.
Yeah, I would put the scenario with it, because otherwise it's too much for the reviewers, since they're not as familiar cognitively going back and forth between the different scenarios. Like,
I
want to make it so that they don't have to think about it as much.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
But did you all like the quotes I chose? Do they all seem reasonable to you?
You had to include the preppy woman.
Well,
I had to get the preppy woman in there.
We talked about that one so much.
Like the scenarios ordered. I wasn't sure. I originally actually think intentionally tried to mix it around, but I don't care. You want me to order them in both the interview and testing environment then? Like put all the luggage together, et cetera?
That's my vote. I don't know what Lee and Tara would vote.
Well, how many we got? Okay, so we got the luggage. How many do we have for each?
We have two for tuition.
Two
for luggage and one for Mac PC.
So it would be nice. I mean, if we have one more for Mac PC, it would be kind of a nice, if we want to order them.
I think I have two of them are actually a Mac PC, because that, but more likely it's because of the cost is the Mac PC as well.
Oh. I saw cost and tuition.
It was harder to actually find tuition because most of my students just commented on the p-value.
I don't want to force it, so, but yeah, I think actually ordering would, it just, given that the reader, you know, I like the idea of having it organized, because even as I was skimming this, I had to think for a minute, okay, wait, which one did that go with? and I'm very familiar with the context. So
I can change it. That's not a big deal.
I like the quotes, though. The quotes are great.
Yeah, I like the quotes, too.
Also in this section, we mix irrelevant and unnecessary to describe the context. What do we want to use? We should pick one.
I like irrelevant, and I think that was what we put in the coding scheme.
Okay.
Yeah. I also think at some point here, thought at some point I added it, and I don't know, maybe it got lost, but or maybe it's up farther. Never mind. I was going to say we need to tell them what we're considering irrelevant context, but I looked, and it is in the expectation section, the expected results, so we're good. And instead of the results of these analyses, what did we say? Okay.
Instead of what?
Sorry, I need to read for a second, and then I'll complete my thought. I would move the sentence, tables 5, 6, and 7 present the results of these analyses. I would move that above the sentence, some examples of what was considered unnecessary contextual information are. Because otherwise I feel like the sentence about the tables gets lost, and you may have already lost sight of what the analyses were. So it says, you know, the results of these analyses, but it hasn't mentioned analyses for a few sentences before that, so I would just take that sentence and put it above some examples.
Okay.
I'm sorry, which sentence was the tables 5, 6, and 7 thing?
Mm-hmm. And I would just incorporate that into the previous paragraph.
So it will go within these groupings. The number of responses that included the irrelevant contextual factors was recorded. Tables 5, 6, 7 present the results of these analyses. And then some examples of what was considered unnecessary contextual information are as follows.
Yes.
Do you think we should move the tables up above the some examples of what was considered?
No, I think they're still close enough. So I think as long as we like that as all one paragraph, it's fine.
I had a hard time figuring out where to actually put that, to be perfectly honest, because I thought before we presented the tables, we'd want to see what were examples of what we meant by irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually like where you put it. I think it's in a reasonable space. I do think it makes sense in terms of the overall flow, and I think the tables are still close enough to their reference, and the titles are certainly descriptive enough that people won't have any problem figuring them out then.
Do you think we need a stronger transition to go from the tables to the students were grouped according to the number of paragraph? Do we need some sort of transition in there?
Probably.
That seems kind of awkward.
Yes, and I was even wondering if we still need this. So, okay, so we say the goal was to determine if students who tended to be opinionated used more irrelevant contextual information as compared to students who tended to have. So do you guys still like including these, that table there?
Well, this is something that you had just added in.
Well, this
what
is actually where this was where we had initially started in the results, and then we realized that the previous tables were really what we needed. I think it still serves some value. So I guess let's leave it in there for now, and then if we look at the whole thing and decide, no, it just doesn't factor in, we can deal with that later. And I would just, I think the transition could be something as simple as something like as an additional analysis or additional analyses, students were grouped, or even just additionally, something along those lines.
And Herla has a comment that she had added about the format of the tables. Do you guys have a preference? Do you like the N out of and then the percent under it, or do you like having separate columns for percents and N?
I like it together.
The N out of?
Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer that version as well.
That's the thinking I have to do when I look at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that too, actually.
Lee?
Yeah, I'm...
You're outvoted anyway. So.
Yeah, pretty much. I was going to say, I kind of like the other way, but I'm good with either, really.
Okay, so that table will need to be updated. Oh. Wait. Did I repeat a paragraph? Is the within the groups presented in table 8?
No.
No. Okay.
No. That's actually some analyses we discuss, but don't show. That was sort of our paired analysis, or our repeated measures analysis, and I don't think it really panned out, although it would be interesting if there was some information in that. So maybe we should go back and look at that table.
Do you remember?
Oh, it was in one of the earlier versions of the paper.
The table itself was?
Yes, I believe. Let me go back to what we have.
Oh, I know which tables you're talking about. I think I know which ones you're talking about.
Maybe it wasn't. Well, it's not in the version I'm looking at, but
it was it the one that had the... It had, like, the dot lug and dot... Is it that one?
I think so. That's what I was thinking as I was looking through.
I have those on a version on my PC. I can put them back in. Or I can look for one.
I would still... I guess just put it in there and then... think we'll need. I like separating the tables by context because I like, again, making it easier to know which cells you're supposed to be comparing to each other as opposed to having to pick out, okay, this is the luggage, this is the, so I can't remember exactly what the table looked like, but I kind of remember it being a lot of information all at one time.
Yeah, it wasn't what it was it had like all of the...
Yeah.
Like, everybody was classified into Category 1 or Category 2, and then it said which one was the different opinion,
right.
And they were grouped together. That's correct. Should we just describe it in words, maybe, instead of including a table?
I think it depends on what there is to see there. So so when I went through and looked at it, I apparently didn't see much about it. Maybe you can take a look and see if you agree with that. And maybe if there's not much there, we can leave it as it is. If you think I was being too strict with the idea of, well, there's not really much evidence, and you think there maybe actually is something interesting in the table, then we should maybe just include the table. And we might have to modify the discussion as it currently stands.
I'm actually looking at that table right now. Now, I don't see a lot. There's a lot of zeros in it, a lot of really, really small cell counts. So that's why I think it's really going to be hard to see any patterns in it.
Then, excuse me, maybe we are just fine leaving it the way it is, just kind of saying, yeah, we did consider, because I think it's a natural analysis to consider. That sort of is almost like a repeated measures analysis. So I think it's natural to consider. I think it's important to address and then just say that we didn't actually see much of anything. So I guess we're fine the way we are.
Okay. And then we have the three tables that show the actual scenarios.
Do you think we should lead off with the tables that show the actual scenarios, or do you think we should lead off with the tables that show the percent of context? Does anyone have a preference about that?
I think the percent of context first. I think that's what we looked at first. And then we started exploring the individual codes themselves.
Okay.
I think the kind of get the big picture and then maybe look at the more specific details. And to me, looking at the percents gives the overall picture. And then looking at the specific codes. How did we discuss it in the discussion section? Did we?
I don't know.
No. We don't really talk about the tables that have the codes themselves in the discussion section, do we?
I thought Jackie had added some of that in there. Based on some things I had emailed out. I will be honest.
I had discussion. I haven't worked on discussion for a while.
Yeah, neither have I. I kind of wanted to go back and just get the expectations and results table set, so I haven't looked at the discussion in a long time.
We don't really have much. We have more discussion on the interview. We don't have a whole lot about the test. That's something we probably should go back and add in. We have the overall percentages and a discussion about that, but I don't see anything that directly addresses Jackie, you put the p-value stuff in. But other than that one, I don't think we talk about those tables too much. Maybe we should, once we finish the discussion, we should see what order makes the most sense. I don't know. Whatever order we would discuss them in seems to be the order they should be in the results section, so.
So we'll leave it as it is for now.
Does anybody think we need any other results from the testing scenarios? I mean, that's quite a bit. That pretty much is everything I mean, we did a lot of analysis, but this was ultimately what proves to be the most relevant.
and give them.
You think what?
I think I would probably need to just read it again once through, now that all most of the changes are in, to really know for sure and look through the discussion again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're good for now.
Okay. For the interview results, we have some stuff that we need to address. There are a couple of quotes that were crossed out.
Were those pulled into the discussion?
No.
Is that why they were crossed?
No. Those were ones, I don't think so. Let me check. Those were ones that were different between the document you had been working with, Herla, and the one that Jackie had been working with. So I thought you had gone in and crossed them out. That's why I had left them.
No, I think they are, I actually like a lot of the ones that have been crossed out.
Okay, then I didn't accept those cross outs, that's why. I'll just reject them and that will put them back in.
The ones that I think should be deleted, you can see the one that I commented on.
Right.
And the one with the Hispanics.
I mean, if you want me to leave that one in, I could just leave out the last sentence. Then I wasn't sure if it really had that much there.
Okay, then, do we want an entire page of quotes from the interviews?
I don't think that's bad. I think in a qualitative paper, there will be pages and pages of transcripts sometimes, so I think a page of quotes is not bad at all. I think it also helps the fact that we do get more volume and each quote talks more, supports our ultimate argument that the interviews were a more fruitful kind of approach and that we saw a lot more of that confirmation bias in the interview scenarios.
Okay. So the quote, the third one down, the in a biased medical marijuana should be legalized scenario. Herla wants that one deleted. She thinks that it's not evidence of confirmation bias. Jackie and Lee, are you okay with deleting that one?
I have no problem with deleting it. It's not like there's not enough there without it.
I mean, we would have to edit it, and then maybe you lose the overall reasoning. I think the part that does kind of speak to confirmation bias, as he says, but I think it would be a good thing to get passed eventually, but we might be misrepresenting the student if we kind of pull all that other out. I think in general, he's actually showing really good reasoning, since it is a biased scenario.
I mean, I guess for me, I was just thinking about him saying, like, I, me, a lot.
Yeah.
So, Jackie, you think it is evidence of confirmation bias? Is that?
I guess it did, because they never really said anything about why the sample was biased.
Yes, he does. He says, you have no idea who those Americans are. We need to take more studies. You know, he's getting at the fact that we don't know that they're representative. That's what I see out of this. I see he's saying we don't know that these people are representative, so we can't pass it to all of the states just based on a single poll. That's why I think it's good. And I think the fact that he's saying I and me a lot, like we're asking them to explain their reasoning. So I don't think them just speaking in first person is evidence of confirmation bias. To me, the part that speaks of confirmation bias is where he's talking about all the reasons it shouldn't be passed, and then he says, "But I do think it was a good thing. I think it would be a good thing to get passed eventually." But then he also goes on to say, "But we would need to have more studies." So that's why I think overall he's actually showing really good reasoning here, since it is a biased scenario.
Okay.
I mean, he's in favor of legalizing it. You do get that out of there, and we could just kind of edit it down to be that sentence, but then I don't know if that's editing it too much.
I think that would misrepresent him.
Yeah, that I kind of think so, too. So I that would be my vote, would be to take it out completely.
Okay.
If you guys think I am way off base on that, I, you know, we can talk about it more, but that's my vote.
Wait.
Yeah, I don't think we can edit it. I think we... Yeah, I think we need to take it out.
Yeah, since we have disagreement on it, I will pull it. And what about the one that has the racist remark in it? Carla, do you like Jackie's idea to insert racist remark in its place, or do you be more comfortable if it was just gone?
I think we could probably...
No.
I don't know. Again, I'm not really sure this one is very strong evidence of confirmation bias. So it is a biased sample, and he is disagreeing with the conclusion. He's bringing up sort of a response bias sort of scenario. I'm really not sure we get a lot of support for confirmation bias with that whole quote. I would either just pull out the last sentence completely, or just pull out the whole quote completely.
I agree with you. I think it's more that he's picking up on the biased sample. Lee?
I don't know. I actually kind of like the quote. Right, the bias, what was the bias sample in the medical marijuana? Sorry, my brain's...
That's what I was just looking for, because I can't remember either.
I don't remember either.
That should be in our appendix, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I didn't even think to look there, Hurla, geez.
I'm pulling it up now.
You know, I wrote it. I think I would know.
The poor sampling, in March of 2010, MSNBC posted an online poll on its website and found that 60% favored legalization of marijuana is one, a majority opinion, and the other one it's the same part, but then the percentage is 45%.
I don't know. I feel, I mean, they're just... I think this is all contextual. I mean, they're bringing in all sorts of, like, opinions that they have about... You know,
well, how about if...
marijuana for not medical purposes. Drug tests in high school, and apparently he has an opinion about Hispanics and drugs.
Yeah. How about if I leave it in and I replace the last sentence, you don't know how many, and then I'll just put racist remark. And we can reread it with that and see how we feel about it.
Okay.
Because, yeah, he's referring, I mean, I guess that's why I wanted to look at how we had done this sample, because now he's talking about our school, which we weren't talking about. It was an online poll.
I think he's comparing it, though, or she, this is actually female, I think she's comparing it to, you know, people just felt like they could put whatever answer for an online poll. I think she's making the connection. This is one of my students, so I'm almost positive. Mm-hmm. And she was making a connection between when you do something in high school, like those little surveys in high school, and an online poll that you can just put whatever answer because it doesn't matter. I think that's what she was thinking. I think that's what she intended with this. And from that perspective, she is pulling in her own personal experiences and beliefs.
I would vote to keep it in with the one edit there.
So we have two keeps with an edit. Pearl is an out, and I don't matter to me one way or the other. So we'll keep it in for now, and then we can debate it more if we need to, because it's almost 11.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a reasonable solution at this point.
There's a bunch of stuff on the next page that starts with table 12 that has discussion in it. Do we need to move that to discussion?
Yes. And then we just need to come up with maybe a slightly more expanded description of what table 12 is, or another, maybe we create a new sentence or something about, you know, comparing interview and testing scenarios. Maybe that needs to go into the sentence or needs to be another subsection or something like that. But I agree with, I think it was Tara who made this comment, that a lot of this should go into the discussion section.
I think Jackie actually made it. I had made it in an earlier paper, but I think this whole thing was Jackie, but it doesn't matter.
Then it makes my discussion longer.
You'll make the discussion longer. Jackie, you had a question about the subset of 46. It should have been scenarios.
Okay.
I updated that. It was 16 students, but we had a total of 46 scenarios. I don't think there's anything else that's major. We still have to go back in our discussion and talk about the problems, like the limitations of the study.
Yes.
We still have to do that.
I would add a note towards the end of the discussion about limitations/future directions. Just kind of put a note in there to remind us. And I think that what we should do, before we worry too much about that, I think that what we should do is we should all take a look at the new results section and try and look at it as much as possible, try and look at it with fresh eyes. Go back and look at the tables and say, you know, am I seeing evidence of confirmation bias here? Otherwise, what am I seeing? And then we can, with that in mind, maybe we can compare notes and revisit the discussion that way. Because I think part of what our problem was we sort of developed the conclusion as we were going along and doing the analyses, and we wrote the discussion accordingly. But since then, we've done a lot of changing of the tables and the way we've presented the information. And so I think it would almost be better just to start with the results section as fresh as possible and look at that and then revisit the discussion after we've kind of compared notes on the results and make sure we do all agree with that. And
all right.
We might be able to kind of compare notes via email and then one of us can, once we have all that in, one of us can go back and work on the discussion.
All right, it's 5 after 11, so when do we want our next call? Do we want to try for a week or 2 weeks?
I can do the 17th at this time. I can't do the 24th at this time. It would need to be a little later in the day. I could do like 1 o'clock.
My Fridays are open, so.
I'm good with either.
I can do either. I have exams coming up in all my Texas A&M classes, so I'm not sure how much I'll be able to get done in a week.
So why don't we just do the 24th at 1?
Works for me.
Okay.
And
I'm sure in your email you said that we should have a goal date. Anyone have a goal date? Have the paper done?
End of March. I think end of February is a little ambitious. But end of March would kind of force us to keep ourselves in gear.
Okay.
That stunned silence on the other end of the line.
No, that's fine.
Is that to go to Randy and REB, or is that to submit? Can we have an earlier goal to go to Randy and the REB if we still want to send it to them to read for clarity?
I do have, I mean, I'm assuming we're all coming up on a spring break at some point, so my second week of March is spring break, and we are going out of town, so that's a week for me when I won't be working on anything. I don't know. I think maybe I have to sit down with the most recent version of the paper and kind of read it through one more time before I get a feeling about how much more there is left to do.
Well, so if I might have a pretty well put together paper, we could send it to them before we're fully done editing with it.
Yeah. So do we want to say, like, mid-March we'll try and get it to the RAB? I'm not sure if that's feasible, but that I would be comfortable saying, more comfortable saying mid-March, I think, than beginning of March.
Okay.
That's just me personally. I don't know how everyone else feels. I know Jackie needs this out, so I'm trying to not go too much later. Like, I don't think we should say end of the semester. I think we should try and get it earlier than that.
I highly agree. We need to get it done before the end of the semester.
Yeah.
I need to get something off my plate.
I agree. I think we all do, quite frankly. And I know Jackie needs this for her RTP packet, so.
Burn research.
Yeah.
Well, let's have a goal to submit it end of March for now, and we'll see how it goes with getting it to the RAB.
I think that sounds good.
All right. I have a student who's supposed to come in at 11:30. If he doesn't show up, I wasn't at my computer. I was doing hand notations because my cell phone wasn't working. So I'll update it based on what we talked about, and then I'll email it.
That sounds great. Thank you for doing that, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll talk to you guys on the 24th then.
All right. Have a good couple weeks. Good luck with the exams.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.